Hiking the Grand Canyon is a bucket list type experience. It's one of those days in life that you will never forget. On June 23rd, 2013, there was a totally different experience of the Grand Canyon from what we all are a part of. A professional tightroper by the name of Nick Willenda became the first man to highwire walk across the Grand Canyon. I can't even imagine what this was like as he stepped out onto a 2-inch wide cable, 1,500 feet over a gorge, and proceeded to walk for almost 23 minutes and cover 1,400 feet of cable. He dealt with high winds whipping up to 30 miles an hour and had no harness or safety net below to catch him. As he walked the cable, you can hear him praying and praising God.
Now, this is a day that I'm sure he and his family will never forget. I'm really not sure how someone would want to take on a challenge like that, but talk about a defining moment in your life. As you listen to our speaker today, I would love for you to be thinking of the defining moments in your life, of the times when God showed up for you. Along this trail, we have talked about the importance of remembering who God is and all that he has done for you, and how this gives us hope and strength to continue on. In the Bible, we see God's people building monuments and altars to worship and mark those defining moments where God came through. Our prayer is that this experience can be a defining journey of faith for you. Reza's a Day has a word today that will encourage you and help you to build those monuments of faith in your life. Reza is a pastor, ministry leader, and NFL chaplain. He converted from Islam to Christianity as a Colorado State football player and now enjoys training athletes to be athletic disciples who make athletic disciples. Currently, Reza serves as the chaplain for the Denver Broncos and pioneers curriculum and environments that aid in the discipleship process with a ministry called Pro Athletes Outreach, and serves as the men's discipleship director and pro chaplain liaison with Pro Athletes Outreach. Reza lives in Colorado with his wife, Allison, and their three children.
You know, as we've been journeying together, we've gone down into the valley. We've experienced what it means for us to walk across from one side to the other in the valley. And now we find ourselves on the ascent, going up the hill. There's a long journey behind us, and I know that together we have walked through a whole lot of realities that the Lord has led us through. Whatever you're experiencing now in life, whatever circumstance has brought you to this experience, I want us to know that we're not the first to go through what we've experienced. You know, all throughout time since the beginning when God created humanity, we as humans have experienced the brokenness of life. We've gone through the ups and we've gone through the downs. We've seen the glory of what it means to celebrate with God, and many of us have found ourselves bending over, crying out, asking God why, how, and how long. You know, the ancient followers of Jesus put these types of feelings to song for us. One of my favorite songs is the old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I love the words that were penned and the melody that we sing and the reality that we tune our heart to sing of the grace of our God. But there's a verse, the second verse actually catches my heart and it catches my eye and it catches my attention. Because it's in that second verse that we read the words, Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. You know, that phrase, Ebenezer, is one, it's not typically a phrase that we use in our everyday language, but the people who wrote this and the time that they wrote it, they understood the reality of what that meant. The word Ebenezer is a commemoration of divine assistance, and it's a phrase that was used specifically in the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Samuel, we actually see evidences of this Ebenezer, that one, it was a location where God's people were, but secondly, it was an encounter that God had with a prophet named Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, what it says is, afterward, Samuel took a stone and set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. And he named it Ebenezer, explaining, the Lord has helped us to this point. You know, in that ancient hymn, Come Thou Fount, when we sing and we declare, I raise my Ebenezer, basically what we're saying is we are declaring a monument. This is where God showed up. You know, for some of us, our Ebenezers could be a journal entry. And for others, it could be just looking through old photos in an album or even old photos in our phone. Maybe it's looking back on videos or just simply sitting back and remembering moments in time where we experience the goodness of God. You know, raising up those Ebenezers, I imagine, as people went through the wilderness on their own journey and they came upon the Ebenezer stones that Samuel had put up. And I wonder if there was a plaque there. And I wonder if people told the story that we can trust God too. Samuel trusted God and he built this monument. He built this Ebenezer, declaring to all the world that God, the Lord, has helped us to this point. I don't know what the Ebenezer looks like in your life, but I wonder if we pause silently and ask God to reveal to us, what are those moments that you've come through? That I've been on a long journey, God. I've been through the wilderness. I've been through the wasteland. I'm tired. I don't feel like I can go any longer. But God, would you just show me? Would you just bring to memory those moments that you have showed up? You know, this is a reality that every single one of us need. You know, there's a passage in scripture that many people recite and many people share with others that are going through difficulty. And it's the Apostle Paul who wrote it in his letter to the Philippians. And the letter to the Philippians is oftentimes called a letter of joy. It is a letter that emphasizes the reality that we have the opportunity to choose joy no matter the circumstance. And here this man, Paul, who was in prison, writing this letter, choosing joy. He pens these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus." You know, I read this initially and I think to myself, how do you not be anxious about anything? Because I'm a person that is prone to be anxious. I'm a person that not just is prone to wander, but I'm prone to anxiousness. I'm prone to be concerned with the things of the future. I'm prone to be concerned about the what ifs or the fear that I've experienced, or maybe it's the unknown. Maybe I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. I don't know what's going to happen to my job. I don't know what's going to happen to my health or even the health or job or realities of those that I desperately love. And it's these kinds of things that cause us to be anxious. But here the Apostle Paul tells us, hey, not to be anxious. But he doesn't just say to stop being anxious. He actually encourages us, or even better, implores us to replace that anxiousness with something. And here in this passage, he actually gives us the antidote to being anxious. Dear friend, I don't know what's brought you on your journey. I don't know what hill you're ascending up right now. I don't know what's caused you weariness. But here's what I do know, that there is an antidote to the anxiousness, and this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, don't be anxious, but in every situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, by prayer and petition. So whatever the situation, pray. But don't just pray. He actually gives us a specific prayer. He says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Like, he doesn't say just pray if you're anxious. He actually says, hey, why don't you replace that anxiousness with a specific kind of prayer? And the specific kind of prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Because friends, here's the truth. When we're anxious about something, we're never really anxious about the past. We're always anxious about the future. And the future hasn't even happened yet. So we're anxious about something that hasn't even happened yet, and we're allowing that to occupy our energy and our mind and our thoughts. And Paul says, hey, why don't you replace what you think might happen in the future, and why don't you pause and remember and be thankful for what God has done in the past? Because here's the truth. It is absolutely impossible to be thankful and anxious in the same moment. Like, our heart isn't big enough to hold thankfulness and anxiousness at the same time. Like, we choose one or the other. And so what Paul says is, as you pray, pause. Think, dear brother and sister. Think about those moments in time where God has come through your Ebenezer stone. Remember those times when God has brought you to this point. And when we pause and sit back and to think about those moments that God has brought us through, It gives us the peace to remember that God has brought us through in the past, and He is faithful to walk us through in the future. So you see, it's not just Paul telling us to stop being anxious. He's actually inviting us to something beautiful. He's inviting us to replace the worry of the future with the certainty of what has happened in the past. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You see, as we pause and stop, as we write down, as we think about, as we pray about, as we express our heart's delight in the ways that God has come through in the past, that we're going to experience the peace of God that transcends understanding. So in the midst of that doctor's note, or the midst of that marital strife, or the midst of that frustration with that coworker, or health or financial situation, whatever it might be, the peace of God is able to overcome us. It'll transcend all understanding because we're thankful. Because the God that we serve has walked with us in the past and will cover us in the future. And so we actually borrow from the bank of the past so we can walk through what we experience in the present. Do you understand the depths for which God loves you? Dear friend, as you continue to journey, I pray that you would pause and remember the goodness that is found in our Lord, and the goodness that is found in how God has come through, and the reality that we don't have to be consumed about the future. It's okay to be concerned, but to not be consumed by the future, because we have a Savior who holds us as we walk through it.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid.
So many reasons to
What an incredible worship song. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that was the defining moment in all of history. All of history depends upon that moment. The fact that the Savior came to earth, died a sinner's death, but then 3 days later rose from the dead so that anyone who would believe in him can walk in new life, can walk in freedom, and can live in hope. What an incredible moment, and I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done. And as you consider the defining moments in your life today, I want to encourage you to just take some time. Take some time to think that through. What has God done? Where have you seen God work? And maybe write about those different Ebenezer moments in your life. I would encourage you to find time today to pull out a journal and write down some of the defining moments and key things that God has taught you as you have journeyed through the Grand Canyon with us.